So that's going to be a habit that we're going to get into every Sunday. And there are more things going on with prayer. If you really have that pull toward prayer, come and talk to me, because there's some stuff going on right now. I don't want to make any kind of church announcement, but there are some things going on. So John chapter 6, our title today is Come and Dine. So let's talk about dinner with Jesus, you might say, or breakfast with Jesus, or lunch with Jesus. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and him with me." You know, the feeding of the 5,000 it's an incredible miracle, but it's a multifaceted miracle. It really is. It's amazing. Think of a jewel, a large jewel. You pick it up and you kind of turn it in all different ways, and you get different reflections. You get, different colors. And that's how God's miracles are. In my time, I have experienced God as an efficiency expert. You guys know what an efficiency expert is. It's people that are just everything is just trimmed down and everything goes smooth. And one of the things that I noticed about God, he's so efficient. He does one little thing and many outcomes happen out of it. I don't know how he does that. It's amazing to me. We're going to see that today. The feeding of the 5,000 is one of the many miracles that he performs that has this domino effect on everything around him. You know, God is like that. Our God can do that. He can do that. You know, we spoke about his name is above all names. His glory is not to be compared, His work, in that song, cannot be stopped. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, Charles Spurgeon said, "There is nothing little about God." And what an incredible statement. Today, in our text, the title invites us to come and dine with the Master. So let's look over this miracle. And my prayer would be is that the Holy Spirit would speak to you individually. You know, our outline this morning, we're going to see this. We're going to see a miracle of great compassion. A miracle of great compassion. You're going to see a miracle of great cooperation. All these things I'll explain to you. And we're going to see a miracle of great capacity or sufficiency. So let's look first at this miracle of great compassion. When God performs miracles, there's always this kind of threefold pattern that I see in the Bible. The first is that there's always a practical need for the miracle. You know, today is the case. He wants to just feed people. It's just a practical thing. You know, God is very practical. We tend to think God is just supernatural, all about the kind of the wow factor, and he is. There's no doubt about it. But he's very practical when he's working with us. And, never dismiss the practical in your life that God does, because it's just as powerful as the miracles itself. The second thing I've noticed about the miracles is that it's obvious about it. It glorifies God. I mean, when you see miracles in your life or you see miracles in the Bible, who can compare to God? Nobody else can do those things, those miracles. There is a wow factor that isolates God to himself, that no one could do that but God. So that it glorifies God. And then the third thing I noticed about miracles, there's this personal effect. It provokes faith in us. I don't know. I've had many miracles happen in my life. Now, I've never seen the 5,000 fed. I've never seen anybody rise from the dead or, the blind would see or anything like that. But I've had some miracles in my life that you could not explain any other way but God. And it provoked faith in me. It produced more faith in me. You know, every time that God does something in your life, you kind of put more faith in your pocket. And then you put more faith and you can draw it out any time. So we see all three of those things in this miracle. You know, the work of God in this particular case is one of the few miracles reported in all four Gospels. It doesn't always happen. So we're going to draw from Mark a little bit to get a full view of God's work here. Let's read our text in verse 1. "After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat with his disciples. Now, the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. This would be Jesus' second Passover. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Mark's gospel reports to us that God's compassion is the instigating factor in this miracle. I want to read just Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out and saw the great multitude actually coming toward him, it says he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. You know, one of the primary motivating factor of what God does in our life, it's always compassion. What he feels toward us. He loves us. And when we see this great multitude, Jesus is moved with compassion. There's so many times in the Bible where right before he does a miracle, it says he was moved with compassion. He loves us. He cares about us. Not only that, though, he understood that they were sheep without a shepherd. So he begins to teach them spiritual things, or teach them many things, it says. But his compassion doesn't stop there. He's concerned about the physical, too. He's concerned about that they're going to be hungry at the end of the day. God's primary motivating factor in your life will always be a great love toward you. That's what he does. You know, you might think, wow, man, I just went through the worst trial in my life. But God's motivating factor is love toward you. Some way he's going to take that and turn it around, and it's going to be that he cares about you. He's doing the best for you. You know, we, as parents, we sometimes have to chastise our children. But we know it's always for the good. You know, you teach your kid, don't touch that stove. And, you know, I remember slapping my son's hand or my daughter's hand. You don't want to get burned. You just don't want to get burned. So it's God, his compassion toward us is what motivates the things that he allows and does in our life. Now, he cares about your spiritual needs, but he desires to feed you also. He cares about your rent. He cares about your mortgage or your car. He cares about the things that, you know, the physical things that you need. But it doesn't just stop there. He desires to provide both spiritual and physical needs in your life. That's what it's about. So this miracle is really a twofold type of thing. His great compassion extends both spiritually and physically. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that they may eat?" But he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. So we see that the first thing is that this is a miracle of great compassion. The second thing I mentioned here was a miracle of great cooperation. And what I mean by that is that he wishes to do to others, he wishes to do through you. He wants to use you in your life. He wants to take your life and extend his life through you to other people. And this is going to be a great teaching point toward the disciples. You know, they were at the point, they're not innocent bystanders here. They're not just hanging around. God is teaching them. These apostles are being taught by Jesus because, you know what? Soon Jesus is going to go to heaven. What do we do then? He's actually training them right now. They were at this point in training to be without Jesus and to be dependent on the Holy Spirit. Now, if you read the other Gospels, you'll know that both Jesus and the disciples actually were burned out at this point. There was so much activity going on. They were burned out and they were tired from the pressing crowds, the demand of the people. They actually, when it says that he went up on a mountain, trying to get away. They're trying to get some rest. They're trying to get a little relaxation in between the next town that Jesus would preach at or the next group that he would speak to. So they try to get away, but the people press in. Now, here's a choice that is made with Jesus, and I think it demonstrates his compassion. Either it's his comfort, get away, he could have probably hid from them, or its great compassion to serve the people that were coming toward him. You know, they had just saw many, many miracles, people that were healed of diseases. They could have withdrawn at this point, and actually it was Jesus' desire to take the disciples and get away for a little bit, give them a little rest. I mean, they're gone. They've been back and forth on the Sea of Galilee a couple times. Next week we're going to see that storm that Jesus walks on the water. So there's a lot of stuff going on here. They could have chose comfort, but Jesus chooses compassion for the people, and then he entangles the disciples in this choice. It's not only that, okay, we got to do this. You're going to help me do this. What I'm saying is that they could be part of this great miracle and this great cooperation with God. That's what it is. It's the cooperation between God and man. That's what the gospel's all about. And he begins by pulling them into faith. He asks Philip a very logical question. He says, where shall we buy bread for that they all may eat? Now, there's 5,000 people here. 5,000. Now, that's 5,000 men. We're talking, add a girl, maybe a few kids. You could be talking 15,000 people that showed up here. But he said to this, to Philip, that to test him, what would he do? Now, where are we going to buy all this food that we need? You know, it was a very logical question for Philip. He lived in this area. He knew where all the 7-Elevens were. He knew that. He knew where all the stores were, where they would buy it. Philip, do you know where the stores are? We can just go purchase this food. But it's a logical response. But Philip answers, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. The denarii was the coin of the day. And I suppose that that was probably the amount that they had in the box. They had a box that they would collect for the poor and for their own needs. I'm supposing that that's all they had in that collection. You know what? It wasn't very much money at all. I mean, Jesus never had a lot. You know, we have this very bad habit of limiting God to what we possess. And that's what he was doing. Look, we just got a few hundred denarii. That's it. We can't do any more. So we have this bad habit of ourselves as believers, limiting to God what we have. You know, the first thing you reach, well, I don't have much money. I can't do anything here. Though God is practical, faith always looks on the outside of the box. That is true. George Mueller, a guy that prayed and received many, many things in his lifetime, established many orphanages just by prayer. I remember reading one time that they sat down at table as the beginning days of the small orphanage, and they had no food whatsoever, George Mueller. And so what he did, though, is he set the table. He set the table, and they sat there and prayed. And right when they started to pray, someone showed up, and they filled those plates, and they had dinner. You know, that's how George Mueller was. But he said this. He says, why should we limit either the goodness or the power of God by our own knowledge of what we call the laws of nature? In other words, why do you limit God? What do you limit God? Psalm 81 has always been one of my favorite psalms. Verse 10, he says this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And he says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. That's what God is about. He's not limited to 200 denarii, and he's not limited to the things that we have in our pocket. But here's Andrew steps in kind of with a comical statement. I mean, it would be funny from the perspective of not realizing that he is being inspired by the Holy Spirit at this point. He says this, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, hey, there's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that among so many? What is the 200 denarii among so many? What is the, you know, the 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish? You know, I always wondered how they got it out of his hand, the little guy, man, you know, they took it. You know, barley loaves were the poor man's bread. It was the worst bread. It was not the good bread. The wheat was the good stuff. But here, Jesus has secretly and successfully begins to draw the disciples into a faith trap, right? you know, we don't have much money. We only got this little kid with just a few barley loaves and two small fish. What Jesus did in all of this is he made them understand the insufficiency of our own needs. I mean, we don't have what we need all of the time, but God does. It's a good thing to realize, I think, that every person, when they come to this point in their life, and I've come to this point many times, but in the beginning when I first became a Christian, come to the point in our life, I don't have the answers for my life. I don't have enough. I've got maybe a few hundred denarii. I've got a few loaves and a few fish, but I don't have enough. And Jesus' purpose here was to feed the multitude. He had compassion on the crowd. You know, God is always about great compassion, but he successfully pulled the disciples in to this cooperation with this great miracle. You know, God wants to use us. God wants to use us. Your whole life, when you come to Christ, your whole life is about preparation. It really is. It's all about preparing you for the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And sometimes that preparation takes a lifetime, but that's what it's about. The trials, the troubles, the years and the tears that you go through. It's all about this great cooperation with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in our lives. You know, the Holy Spirit and you working together for the glory of God. That's what it's about. That's what your Christian experience is about. Verse 10 gives them their instructions. Jesus gives them their instructions, this cooperation. He says, make the people sit down. Now, there's much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers about 5,000. Now, as soon as I thought about the grass in this place, I always think about the Lord as my shepherd, right? He makes me what? To sit down in green pastures. This is a biblical prophetic fulfillment of the very thing. So he says this, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Make the people sit down. Much grass in the place. The men sat down in numbers about 5,000. And Jesus, we know that they separated them into sections of 50. 50 here, 50 there, 50, you know, up to 5,000 men. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. You see what's happening here? Jesus breaks the bread, gives thanks, and then he gives to his disciples to distribute. These young men, these disciples, these are newbies. They're just getting about a year with Jesus itself. They've seen the miracles. They have been part of some of them, but they didn't know what was going on. You know, years ago, I was in a prayer meeting, and a brother prayed over me in kind of a prophetic tone that this scripture would be my life. And really, at this time in my life, I felt really inadequate to ever be in ministry. I felt really inadequate. Even think about it. I was always afraid to speak publicly. Now you can't shut me up, right? I honestly was really afraid of doing that. I did not feel God could ever change that, and I did not understand the power of God. But God wanted me to he wanted to put in my hands things that I could put in others' hands. And that's what, really, I understood what that prophecy was about in my life. You know, it was him that was breaking the bread. It was him giving thanks, and all they had to do was to hand it out. And it's this cooperation that God has with us, this cooperation. He wants to use us. He wants to multiply the bread in our hands. And you need to be able to see that. God wants us to cooperate with him. And whatever he hands you, whatever talent that he gives you, he wants you to give it to others. That's what it's about. That's what ministry is all about. He breaks the bread. He gives thanks. He hands it to you. And it's this great cooperation with God and man. And then you see this miracle, and this is probably my favorite part, of great capacity, or a miracle of great sufficiency. It says in verse 10, and Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves. We had given thanks. He blessed it. In other gospels, you see that. He distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So you had these 5 loaves, 2 fishes. This is one miracle that I would always wanted to see. It would have been a fun miracle to see. I would have loved to have been one of the disciples. As the disciples distributed the bread, did the baskets stay full? You know, I have been accused by my good sister of being a tinkerer, right? She knows who I'm talking about. I always like to find out how things work. I'm the mechanic. I mean, that's what I did. I was telling somebody the other day when I was a kid, I wanted to find out. You know, I always took things apart. I always got them back together when I was a kid. Now I can do it a little bit better. But I remember once, though, I was curious about those electrical sockets in the side of the wall. You know, the TV was plugged into that. I remember I was just curious, and I took a fork and stuck it in there. I never did that again, you know. But I always curious about how things work. And I would have loved to seen exactly how this miracle worked. Did the baskets stay full, or did they get down to the very last one and they hand the fish to the guy and all of a sudden, boop, it fills up again? Something like that. You know, there's a lot of really good teaching principles here for us to observe, but let me give you some obvious ones. And listen to this. Though the demand will always exceed the number of disciples, the supply will always exceed the demands of the multitude. Did you get that? It really is. God is sufficient. God is sufficient. In this great miracle, we see Jesus breaking bread, dividing the fish. He hands it to the disciples, and the disciples distribute it to the people. And it's amazing. It never runs out. It never runs out. What Jesus gives them, or what Jesus gives us, it doesn't run out. There's ample supply. There's sufficiency in God. What Jesus gives to the disciples is enough for all of the men. And matter of fact, they had extra, right? They had extra. We'll see that in a minute. I think you'll agree with me that what limits sufficiency, what we think about sufficiency of God, we think more like Andrew, you know, well, we just got a couple of fish, 5 loaves of bread. That's all we got. You know, what are those among so many? And I think that that's really something that pops up in our mind. We think that God doesn't want to use us, or God doesn't want to do things through us. But we limit God, what God wants to do, when we think that way. You know, what are they among so many? You know, that's what we limit. You know, Israel failed in thinking this way. One of the things that we look at the early books of the Old Testament, and we see Israel failing over and over and over again. And Psalm 78 gives us a clue to why they failed. He said, yes, again and again, they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what it is, limiting God, limiting the Holy One of Israel. I don't know. Do you see the power of God here? It never runs out. It never runs out. It just overflows. They keep distributing. If there was 20,000, 30,000, if there was 100,000 there, it would have never run out, because God is sufficient. There's also a question that I think is in this text that's kind of, might not be so obvious. You remember, I just spoke about, they had to make a choice between comfort or compassion. As Jesus trains the disciples, he makes an obvious point that in God's eyes, compassion to those in need supersedes our comfort. He makes that point. Jesus himself is the example of that. And though we are exhausted by our own means, he has the reserve of power to go beyond ourselves. They were depleted of energy. You know, when I think about going the extra mile, I'm always limited to my own abilities. But why tap in to the power of God in those situations? And that's what a servant is all about. You know, it's God's desire that we don't burn out. And the only burnout I've ever seen with when we're in ministry or speaking to people or helping people is you begin running on your own fumes. That's what happens. You're not really tapping into what God has for us. So Jesus was moved with compassion. The power of the Holy Spirit pushed Jesus beyond his need for comfort. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to push all of us beyond our own ability when you enter in God's reserve. And what they learned in this lesson was that his supply for the needs of the people is never exhausted. This is probably, if you get anything out of this study, I don't know what your needs are today. I don't know. You've come in here. I know all of us has got problems in our life or things that we maybe can't solve. The trials and those trials that never go away. You guys know what that's talking about. The ones that never go away. They seem to pop up all the time over and over. God is sufficient. He's sufficient in all those things. He sees those in your life and he knows about those things. But if you've learned anything in this lesson at all, is that his supply for your needs is never exhausted. When you come to him, he doesn't turn you down. If you come to him and ask him, he opens up his heart. He says that he'll never turn away anybody that comes to him. That's what he says. So he feeds 5,000, probably 15,000, with the help of what, 12 disciples, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's a pretty good day for, I would say, for a miracle. Yet at the expense of the disciples' comfort, he does have compassion. And at the expense of the disciples' ability, Jesus multiplies bread. But there's something more that I need to bring out. Verse 12 and 13, it says, "So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, 'Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost.' Therefore they gathered them up and filled," what, 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. So you got 12 baskets. What? 12 tribes of Israel, you can think about that. I think leftovers. That's what I think. It's leftovers, 12 disciples. So, you know, our God is very practical. So we've been talking about dinner with Jesus or dining with Jesus. We looked at the miracle of great compassion, how God's motive to us is always to care about us. We looked at the miracle of great cooperation and God's desire to use us or to include us in his work. And then we looked at the miracle of great capacity. And let me just say, God is your sufficiency for everything that you need. Closing off the chapter, it says, "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who has come into the world.' Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him and by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." You know what? He's going to be king someday. I mean, the Bible speaks very clearly that when he returns, he will be over the whole earth and everything will be underneath him. Everything, every knee is going to bow when Jesus comes back, but not now. He will be king someday. Charles Whitmore, a pastor in 1906, wrote a song called "Come and Dine." And I don't know if you guys have ever heard it. It's kind of an old hymn, but I just want to read a few of the lyrics of it. He says, "Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna does he feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time." And then the chorus. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the song. It's a good song. I'd like to sing it, but I can't sing, you guys. It says, "Come and dine. The master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned water into wine. To the hungry he now calls, come and dine." He's sufficient. He's sufficient in your life. All of your problems, he cares about that. He is God. His name is Jesus. He is sufficient for all things. So.